Abba Father, you
are. Welcome. You're listening to Living Faith Podcast.
Starry sky and see your hand in time in mind to lead me through the night.
Something that God truly put on my heart after Pastor was kind to invite me to come today. He began to speak to me about this subject. And so I'm grateful for an opportunity to share it with you. Before I do, why don't we just pray one more time? Is that okay? I often think, in terms of God's word, I'm often thinking about what the psalmist said. Open my eyes that I might see the wonders in your word. And I don't know about you, but I deal with lots of distractions, a busy mind, all sorts of things. And sometimes they get in the way of me seeing the wonder in God's word. And I recognize my humanity can do the same. And so I feel like that psalmist, and I just say, Lord, I really need you to pull a veil back and open my eyes so I can really see the wonder in your word and its application for my life. And so can we just pray that prayer together? God, we thank you today for your power and your glory that's among us here today, your presence, your peace, your goodness, your mercy. We stand in awe and admiration of you, Lord. God, I thank you for your word, and I can relate to the psalmist today. Open my eyes, God, to help me see, to let me see the wonders in your word and the application of those wonders in my daily life, Lord, and in my family. That's the hunger of my heart today, that all veils would be removed and all traditions would be removed, and that you would just let me clearly see the wonder in the word today. We rely on your word and your spirit today to minister to us and to lead and guide us. We speak against distraction and darkness that would try to interfere with receiving and embracing what it is you would say to us here today. And we give you thanks for your word that's quick and powerful and sharp. Help me to communicate it today, God, to your precious people. And we give you thanks and we worship you today. In Jesus' name, we pray together. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's read together in Genesis 15. And we're going to go down, I believe, to 12. I'm going to take you to a moment in the life of Abram. And a powerful moment indeed. I'm going to read 12 through 21. I hope that's okay. And then we'll let you be seated. But Genesis 15, 12 through 21. I'm reading in the English Standard Version. And it says, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Doesn't that sound lovely? Dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there. And they will be afflicted for 400 years. So we have God speaking to Abram right now. This is prophetic and there's promise here. And it's happening under the cover of a dreadful darkness, not light. No Starbucks Frappuccino and relaxing chair by the beach. Great darkness is the cover, the space that God is doing something powerful in. I'll read 13 again. Then the Lord said to Abram, for certain, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. He's speaking this well in advance. But I will bring judgment over the nation or on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Check that out for a moment. They're going to go into great darkness, but they're going to come out with great possessions. Yeah. I don't know about you, but my human flesh, my carnality says, take me into the light and let me come out of the light with great possession. Yeah. And yet I see in Scripture that he takes us into great darkness and we can come out with great possessions. Amen. So often God's word is so contrary to the way that I think. And here I see a contrary situation. Great possessions, verse 15, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Verse 17, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the river, the great river, the river Euphrates. And then he began to tell them, he's going to give them the land of 10 tribes that live in that land. And those tribes were full of parasites, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce their names because I don't want the disease, okay? But we learn in this situation, you may be seated, that God is working in great darkness. And there's some interesting things that happen here in this passage of Scripture. What we see is there is a prophetic word given, there is promise given, and there is a new covenant established with Abram, all under the cover of darkness. And when Pastor invited me to come, the Lord began to speak to me about this subject for today. I can tell you that I'm not here because I master any of this. I practice what I'm sharing with you today. I have not mastered it by any means. I'm learning in the process and in the practice, but it's something God has been talking to me about for some time now and compelled me to share it today. And here's a few things that are on my heart to share. Number one, don't miss the covenant opportunities in your dark moments. Oftentimes, as human beings, we are anticipating, we are expecting all of the prophetic, powerful things that God's going to do in our life to happen in the light, in the perfect scenarios and situations. And yet, when you really drill down into the Word of God, you're going to find a lot of those things do not happen in light, but they happen in the dark. They happen in dark spaces and dark places and dark times is where they happen. It's interesting because I think if we were transparent today, many of us would agree that there was a time when we were a child and we might have been afraid of the dark. Now, you may not have been afraid of every dark scenario, but I'm sure if we drilled down, we'd find some dark moment that got you a little disturbed when you were a child, right? And it's amazing how when the lights go out, all the shadows get bigger and all the things in my mind grow in the dark. And I have this sort of fear of the dark. And we like to think that as we grow older, we don't have that anymore. But I'm not sure if that's true. Yes, I would agree that if you turn the lights off in this space, I would not be afraid as though I would have been when I was probably 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 12. I don't know. I mean, if you turn the lights off in this building and I'm by myself at the right time of night and I was 12, yeah, I'd be a little freaked out, okay? So I'd be a little disturbed. But I think if you did that right now, I'd be okay. So I don't know that I'm afraid of that dark anymore. But we do tend to still be afraid of the dark, which is why we spend so much of our adult life running from dark times. We spend a lot of time praying, get me out of this, instead of get me through it, because we're still afraid of the dark. We haven't quite learned, perhaps from the Word and by experience just yet, how powerful God is in the dark, so we're afraid of it. And yet, when we look in His Word, we see that He does phenomenal things in dark times and dark moments. That a dark cloud moving in our direction isn't as bad as we think it is. If we could just look with the right perspective into the cloud, we'd see His glory in there. But I'm too afraid of the dark to see His glory, and I'm just trying to find an escape somewhere to get out of it. And yet we see Him do great things there. And there are times in my own life, I can admit to you, that I missed out on covenant powerful prophetic moments with God because I was afraid of the dark that he was operating in and just trying to escape. And because of that, I missed what he was trying to do in that dark moment. I don't know everything that's going on, but I know this, and I will say this globally and just generally, that I believe the church in the West needs to start to understand how God works in the dark so we don't miss out on the end times. We need to start to embrace, in a sense, the fact that God is working in the darkness and not be so afraid of it so we can get on board with what God's trying to do in these last days. Amen? Now, I don't like suffering any more than you do, but if you read your scripture, that great revival and the great things that are going to happen in the earth in the last days are going to be coupled with some pretty dark things. And so we have to make some decisions. Do we want comfort and we want light, but no revival, no transformation, no growth, no prophecy, no promises, and no covenants? Or do we want the covenants and the prophecy and the growth and the revival, even if there's some darkness that's coming with that? Amen. I believe around here you guys love Brother Green, and we love Brother Green down in Portland. And he often talks about that. He talks about Jesus, and I can't even say it as well as he does, but he's told me many times, he said, if you just trace the ministry of Jesus, he was always in the dark places. He was in the dark places. He's even told me before that if Jesus were to come back and operate just like he did thousands of years ago, there's a lot of us that say we love Jesus and we would follow him, and we probably wouldn't. Because he's going into the dark places. He's in the challenging places. The places we're all moving away from, Jesus would be there. Think about that sometimes. The spaces in our life that we like to move away from and escape and ignore and overlook, Jesus would be right there. Right in that moment. Because that's how he operates, is he moves, he breathes, and he does the supernatural in the cover of dark. And we want to come to understand that. I want to understand that deeper and better because I don't want to miss what the Lord is trying to do in my family and in my life in the darkness and in those circumstances surrounding the darkness. So I encourage you today, whatever darkness you may be facing, if you will have the right attitude and you will, and I'm going to talk more about this, but you'll trust in the Lord and you will just bear down and move forward, you're going to find there's some miracles in those dark clouds and some things you never thought you would have encountered. But God's in the midst of the clouds to do something supernatural. I've got to avoid distractions today and going in the wrong direction and adding what's not on the page. But I recently had someone bring up, I thought was a great example of this. They'd made mention that the reason why that the buffalo has previously, before obviously hunting and humanity, but the reason why the buffalo was so phenomenal in the West and in the Northwest and in these difficult climates was it was literally built for storms. And I gained a new perspective when I learned this. One of the big concerns about moving cattle into the West and when everybody was kind of pioneering and coming this way is cattle run from storms. Buffalo did so well because a buffalo actually points itself in the direction of the storm and either begins to walk toward it or just stands firmly until it passes over. And that changed my perspective because I recall so many pictures of buffaloes and they're covered in snow. They're covered in weather. And I never thought about it before. But in that photo, I was witnessing an animal facing the weather and saying, come on. And they have this thing built in their DNA that says if I face it and I go toward it, it's going to decrease the amount of time I have to be in the storm. And so they move toward it while the cattle scatters and runs away from it. And I think that's one of the things that God is trying to build into you and I, is to help us understand. We don't have to be so afraid of the dark and the storm. He's building and shaping us to turn toward it and stand firm and steadfast. And in some cases, even move into it, knowing God's in that storm. And if I'll move toward God, I'm going to get the promise and the covenant and the prophecy's going to happen. And it's going to reduce how long I'm in this darkness, because I'm not going to run away from it any longer. And so I encourage you today, number one, is don't miss these God moments that are in your dark situations. The next one is this: darkness is the covering God uses when approaching us. Oftentimes, God is moving in dark things to get close to you. Why is that? Because when I'm in the light, I am guilty of being complacent and disinterested in what God has for me. But suddenly it starts thundering and there's lightning, and I'm interested in what God is doing. I'm interested in God. It tends to be a covering that he operates in when he approaches humanity, when he's doing supernatural things. When you look in scripture, just a few examples quickly. Darkness preceded Israel's exodus from Egypt. God's getting ready to approach millions of his children and move them out of Egypt. And he's operating in the darkness of that moment to do that. When we look in the New Testament, it's in darkness that Joseph and Mary takes the Savior of the world away from Herod. And where did they take him? Into more darkness called Egypt. If you were to reflect on scripture, it's amazing how many times God would take his children, that person he's got a calling and purpose for, and then put them under darkness. Moses is going to save my people, so let's put him in darkness's house. And he's raised under the cover of Pharaoh. Think about that. He doesn't take him and hide him away in the light. He hides him away in the dark. And we even see that with Jesus. It was a dark place that Peter learned for himself how great God is in Acts 12. And we'll read it in a little bit. As he's in a dark, damp dungeon, and he's got soldiers all around him, and he's got chains on his hands and in his feet, and he doesn't know what's coming. He knows what the crowd would like to have happen. And the Bible says in the middle of that, he's asleep. This guy must be really comfortable with dark times. He's sleeping in a dark place. And yet the angel of the Lord comes and begins to do something supernatural and wakes him up and tells him to rise up, and chains fall off, and the angel tells him to follow him. And the Bible says that when he comes out of this dungeon, this prison, he comes to himself and he says, "Now I know God has set me free. Now I know," is what he says. He learned in a dark place for himself how capable God was to set him free in his life. He didn't just learn it because he heard about that person's story. He learned it for himself, and he says, "Now I know myself how capable my God is, because he just led me through a dark moment in my life." And so it's important to recognize that when that darkness is around you and consuming you, or even you see it moving toward you in the horizon, that you don't have to be afraid of that. There's a great likelihood that God's in that cloud approaching you, ready to do something you could not even imagine yourself, and probably could never even happen in the light, because he's moving in that dark cloud. Now, I want to talk to you here about a few decisions to make regarding dark. These are things I'm constantly working on myself and processing myself. Some things God has put in my spirit to practice and make a priority when I am especially surrounded by some dark circumstances and situations. The first one is this: I have decided not to allow darkness to rob me of my covenants with God. I've decided I will not let darkness rob me of my relationship with God and my commitment to God. That no matter what's happening around me, I am determined to remain committed to the Lord. Now, listen, I know I'm not doing any backflips up here. And I don't think I got any rocket science for you today. But I will give you something real. Yes. If you don't make a decision right now that you will not let dark situations rob you of what you have with God, you're going to be in a mess when the dark cloud has consumed you. It's not challenging. It's not difficult. It's quite simple that we make a decision with the help of the Lord in our hearts, in our soul, in our minds, that I don't know what's coming, but I know God's going to be working in everything that comes my way, and I refuse to let any situation rob me of commitments and covenants and promises that have already been established in my life with the Lord. That's what I'm assured of and I'm thankful for, and that's a determination I make regularly. Right? I've had my pastor say it to me before. It's not really a decision if you're not managing it. You got to manage it daily for it to truly be a decision. And so there's oftentimes in my life, I've had conversations with your pastor where I'm managing that decision. It's pretty dark today, but I know God's working, and I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. I refuse to fade in the midst of this dark situation. I made a decision, and I'm going to manage it, that I will not be robbed by the dark when it comes to my faith and my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not going to go through the darkness and come out with less. I'm going to go through some darkness and come out with more than what I had before. That's what the Lord said is available to us. If He can take His children through Egypt in 400 years of slavery, and He can say they're going to go through some dreadful darkness, but they're going to come out with great possessions, then the same thing can happen for you. And the same thing can happen for me, as well as our congregations and our houses of worship. I can come out of this with more than what I had when I went in. The next one is this: I will not let my feelings rob me of my progress and continued growth in the Lord. That sounds very similar to the first one, but let's talk a little bit about it for a moment. There is something really powerful and dangerous in our lives. You ready for it? It's with you all the time. There's a lot of them. And they're called feelings. They're deadly. They are dangerous. Sometimes they're good. But they are tied to my flesh. And so many times they're anchored to lies. And when I am consumed with darkness, my feelings get out of control. And if I believe them, I am in trouble. And what I have learned is that blessed people are simply the people who do what they don't feel like doing. Blessed people are people who do what they don't feel like doing. You know those people, whether it's on your job or it's in your house of worship, and you look at them and you admire them, and in your perspective, they are blessed, and sometimes you're wondering, why are they blessed? If they're truly blessed, it's because they do what they don't feel like doing. That's what leads to blessed. It's really that simple. Is when we decide that our feelings will not govern and rule and control our life, but our faith will and what is right will, and then we make a decision to live according to that and not our feelings. And when we don't feel like praying, we do it anyways. And when we don't feel like worshiping, we do it anyways. And when we don't feel like giving, we do it anyways. When we don't feel like listening to God, we listen to Him anyways. Because that's the key to blessing and being victorious. victorious and overcoming is I do what I don't feel like doing. Is that all right? And that it really comes down to being that simple. And when the darkness is consuming and surrounding me and encompassing me, my feelings go wild. And if I listen to them, I am going to be in trouble. And so a lot of times I have to resist them. I have to question them. I have to challenge them. I have to compare how I feel to what is right and what is true. And then I have to choose what is right and what is true, even when I don't feel it. And when that happens, it's amazing what begins to manifest in my life and how much stronger I become and you will become. And so it's so important to make, once again, asking the Lord to help us within our own selves say, feelings, you will not govern my life. You will not overcome or be more important than faith, than the Word of God, than what my pastor is encouraging me to do, and truth. I will resist you, and I will choose the truth, and especially when darkness is moved in on me. And I want to challenge us as parents and grandparents today. It's important that we don't allow future generations to ignore what is right to protect their feelings. Is that okay? All right. I'm concerned about America. Part of the reason I'm concerned about America is we have decided that we are okay with future generations ignoring truth and right for the sake of their feelings. That concerns me. And so we can't do that, and we have to be an encouragement to the next generation that they learn how to navigate their feelings, which is just a nice way of saying flesh. All right, I'm just being super nice today and saying feelings instead of flesh. I just gave you the secret. I shouldn't have done that. Now you're going to be like, man, this guy, what's his deal? Leave my flesh alone. No, that's what feelings are. It's just a really nice, comfortable, easy way to say flesh. Chad, your flesh is misleading you. It's lying to you because it wants the easy path, and it doesn't want that darkness or that storm. And you've got to compare truth to what your flesh and feelings are saying and then be determined to go the path of truth and what is right so that you can come out of this situation far better than you were before with God's help. And so my feelings or flesh or fears or thoughts are the top reason that I need to make prayer a priority. All right. Come on. You are not the top reason I need to make prayer a priority. I don't even know you. You know, but sometimes, man, I need to go pray because of so-and-so and so-and-so. No, no, no. That is not the reason you need to go pray. You and I need to go pray because of me. Because of you, because of our feelings, because of our humanity, because of our hurt, because of unresolved things in our lives. That's why we need it. Because if I'm trying to face a storm in darkness with the mind of Chad, I'm in trouble. But if I can put on the mind of Christ, I can begin to discern what God's doing in the darkness, and that can change everything. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. That means if you're in your feelings, you're going to struggle to accept what the Spirit of God is trying to do in your life right now. It goes on to say that for they are folly to him. When I'm in my feelings, what God is doing in the darkness seems foolish to me. I'm missing out on it because I'm in my feelings and in my flesh. It's folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Verse 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What am I saying? I'm saying I need prayer in the midst of the darkness, and I need the Word of God in the midst of the darkness, and I need fasting in the midst of the darkness, because these help me put on the mind of Christ to get out from under the mind and feelings of Chad and put on the mind of Christ so I can discern what God is doing in the darkness instead of running from it and missing out on what what God is trying to do. I have made a decision, and I'm working on managing it, that no longer will I default to my flesh anymore in the midst of the darkness, but instead, I'm going to find a place to meet with Jesus and put on the thoughts and the minds and the intents of God so that I can see what He's doing in the darkness and He can be glorified in it. Amen. We got to keep going. The next decision to be considered is the darkness may not be from God, but He will use it to change my life and others. The darkness may not be from God, but He can use it to change my life and others as I lean heavily into faith, hope, love, and patience. Okay. God may not have fabricated it, but He can use it to change my life. And I'm using that word life there strategically. Because if I'm not careful and I'm in my feelings, I want God to change my situation, but I don't want Him to change my life. I like my life. I just don't like this situation. When I'm in my feelings. But when I can put on the mind of Christ, something happens that says I'm not just disappointed in my situation. I don't like this life of mine. I want abundant life. I want that. And if the darkness is a part of that, let's go. I'll be a buffalo and stare it down. Because I want more than just a situational change. I need my life to change. I need who I am to change. And so He may not be the fabricator of it, but He can use it to change my life and other lives as well. When I lean into faith, which is about the present, and I lean into hope, which is about the future, and I just always love Him, even in the darkness, and I wait patiently on what He's doing and for Him to reveal to me in the dark cloud what He's doing, then in that situation, God can do something powerful that I could not have imagined or thought or even asked of myself. In Eden, in Genesis 3, the Garden of Eden, at the fall of humanity, which was a dark moment, by the way, God demonstrated He could do the miraculous in the dark and with the dark. What we see is God declares in Genesis 3, He declared that as the serpent used the woman to bring sin into the world, He would use a woman to bring a Savior into the world. He gave us His first expression and example that God can take the darkness Satan was trying to destroy you with, and He can turn around and produce something powerful and redemption and a Messiah through that. It's the same with your darkness and my darkness today. Satan may think he's going to create and architect some darkness that's going to set you back and destroy you, but what he still hasn't understood is God can take the same darkness and come in like a flood and begin to transform our lives with that darkness and do supernatural things. And so the darkness around me does not have to consume me when I stay steadfast in faith and in hope and in love, and I patiently wait on the one who's working in the darkness to reveal His plan and what He's doing for me. That's the Lord that we serve today. In this life, there will be darkness. There will be trials, which I would suggest are designed by God. There will be trespasses. I explain trespasses as harm someone else does to you. There will be trespasses. People will hurt you. There will be trespasses. There will also be temptations. That's Satan's attempt to distract and derail you in your faith and in your walk with the Lord. And there will be troubles. That's you making a bad choice. That's me making a bad choice. That's trouble. When I say I'm in trouble, that usually means I didn't listen to God. He said go that way. I went this way because I thought I knew better. That's what trouble is. In my house, anyways. And these are things that are a part of life. All four of them are a part of life. And God doesn't design most of them, although he may be a part of designing one at least. He doesn't design all of them, but he can work in every one of those situations that are producing darkness around us when we just stay plugged into what he's doing and not be so afraid of the dark and run away from it, but say, nope, I'm going to take faith, I'm going to take hope, I'm going to take love, I'm going to take patience, I'm going to plant my feet, and I'm going to watch the Lord because he's about to do something I could never have done myself in the midst of this darkness that's consuming me. The Bible says in John 1 and 5 that the light shineth in the darkness and the darkness consumed it not. Do you get that? It does not say light shines in light. It says light shines in the dark. That's the Lord that we serve. You ever had a moment where you said, oh Lord, I just want to be the light? Oh, you better watch out. Because light shines where? In the dark. Yes. In the dark. If you want to be the light, you're saying, bring on the darkness. I'm ready to shine. That's ultimately what we're saying. It's like those moments like, oh God, oh, I need more patience. Every accident that could happen happens on the way to work today. And I'm mad the whole time. I'm like, God, what are you doing to me? Will you ask for patience? But light shines in the dark. And so in these situations of darkness, in trials, I rejoice because God's working in that. He created it for a reason. When there's a trespass in my life, I'm releasing people from the situation. When there's troubles because I made a bad decision, I'm realigning through repentance. When there's temptation, I'm resisting that. And in all of it, God is shining when I keep looking in his direction and trusting in him and knowing in the darkness he can do something phenomenal still. So in the dark, I encourage you this. Don't forget what God said in the light. Everything God says to you in the light, you got to write down. What am I saying? In your prayer room, you got to write down what God's saying to you. At worship, in small groups, in the light, you got to write down what God is saying to you. And when the darkness comes, don't forget what God said when you were in the light, because that's going to carry you and sustain you and keep you. You may be in the darkness, but you can stand firm and say, oh, I know what God said on Sunday. I know what he said in a small group 3 years ago. I know what he said in a prayer moment in my car, and I'm holding on to what he said in the light because he's about to do something powerful in the dark. And so we make that decision. I've gone back many times. Pastor could tell you, we've just like you, we deal with so much darkness. It's always pushing against us. Our house of worship, our personal family, you can relate similar areas. But I often look back at verses God gave us, even when we were on deputation. I look back at things that elders said to me and pastors said to me. And I look at that and say, I know what you said in the light. I know you said that, and you don't lie. It does not return void. So I'm going to keep believing what you said then, right now, when all I can see is darkness and you haven't revealed yet what you're doing in this storm. And I refuse to forget what he said in the light in the midst of the darkness. And I stand and I hold that firmly like a flag. The next one is this: what seems to be my defeat is simply the cover for my victory. New covenant, resurrection and redemption. I want you to think about this with me. I got to end. It's 37 minutes now. There was darkness for at least 3 hours during the crucifixion of Jesus. And what would seem like a defeat is just a covering for another victory. And the truth is, we don't have a conquering Savior if we don't first have a suffering Savior. And we don't have conquering followers if we don't first have suffering followers. You know, there's a whole theology in Scripture about suffering. If you don't worry. Most people don't, because no one wants to talk about it. I mean, it's not the best message, you know. I go to that church over there because, man, they talk about suffering all the time. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work, you know. So we don't break out the teachings and theology of suffering until everybody's duct taped to the wall and can't go anywhere. That's how we do it in Portland. You just duct tape them. All right, they're ready. See, You preach like this. You preach to the walls because everybody duct taped the wall. I can't go. Now I want to tell you, church, about suffering. There is a whole teaching on it. And we look in the scriptures and we see the apostles in the New Testament church talking about how happy they are that they're suffering. And I don't know about you, but I look at it and say, these people need counselors, therapy, and really some help. Like, there's something wrong with these people. But if I'm truthful, that's because I haven't understood what they understand, which is how God works powerfully and grows me through suffering. But at the end of the day, while I'm not signing up on the church list for suffering, I have to start to understand. Even when I look back, it was in those painful moments that I changed for the better. It was in those moments that I changed for the better. And I may be suffering now, but you just wait. Because I'm going to conquer when I come out of my suffering. That's how it works. Last two things, you can stand with me. They can come to the music. The last two things I've seen in Scripture that stir me. I already mentioned one of them, but I think this is important. One of the, or two purposes for the dark times can be found in Acts 12 and Genesis 22. The first one is this: in dark moments, we come to know God more. Acts 12 and 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, now, the King James Version says, now I know. This one says, now I am sure that the Lord has delivered me, basically. King James Version, Peter says, now I know. Personally, because of this imprisonment, what God can do. In darkness, if we will navigate it with the Lord's help, it will be a moment where we're going to learn for ourselves how capable our God is and how faithful. It won't be when everything's perfect. It's going to be in the dark moments where you're going to know if your attitude and heart is right and you're staring it down because you know the Lord is working, you're going to know how great God is. Now, look at this one. Genesis 22 and 12. This one kind of gets me too. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. Look at this. God is talking. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. In the darkness, God knows you more. God comes to Abraham and says, take the promise and sacrifice it. That's dark. That's hard. That's complicated. That's perplexing. And then, in Abraham's faith and in his hope and his love for God and his obedience, right at the end, God says, stop! Now I know you. When all the bills are paid and you're enjoying the lawn chair and a ribeye, God doesn't know you yet. But when the darkness comes, He's going to know who you really are and where you're really at. And I hope He's going to do the same thing with you that He did with Abraham and say, "This is over. Now I know who you really are. Now I see true faith. Now I see pure hope in you. I've seen obedience that's real. And now you don't just know me. Ask yourself, why the darkness? Why the darkness? Perhaps God's on the other end of the question saying, "Well, I'm going to show you what I can do. You're going to know me more if you'll just embrace what I'm doing. And I'm going to know you more as well." Just close your eyes and begin to talk to the Lord. I see some of us already doing it. I believe that our life is going to significantly change if we will stop running from the dark and embrace it. Not just receive it, but embrace it. Embrace it. Look at it and say, "Oh, I didn't realize how afraid I was of the dark still. But you've spoken to me, God. I'm not afraid. No, I'm making some decisions. I'm going to be a buffalo. I'm not running from this anymore. I'm turning, I'm planting my feet, and I am going to watch you do something powerful with it. I'm not looking away from the darkness. I'm looking into it because I'm looking for your light. I am looking for your word. I'm looking for your promise. I'm looking for the new covenant. I'm looking for the new life that's in this darkness that's coming my way. I'm not afraid of what I'm surrounded by anymore. I'm planting my feet in faith and hope and love and patience. I'm holding on to what you said in the light, and I'm facing firmly forward, and my eyes are gazing, looking for you and what you're doing, and I'm not trembling anymore, but I'm excited. I'm going to be enthusiastic. I made some decisions, and I'm not going to abandon them. I'm not going to be robbed by my feelings, but I'm going to put on the mind of Christ. I'm going to discern. I'm going to see what you're doing, God. Oh, and when we come out of this, we're going to be greater than we were before, and it's going to be for your glory. Oh, I'm going to have a moment where I'm going to know how capable you are. It's not going to just be words on a page anymore or someone else's testimony. It's my testimony now. Oh, I know how great you are. And Lord, I'm going to do everything I can to surprise you. I'm going to do everything I can to have a moment like Abraham did, where you're going to look at me and say, "Oh, I know who you are now. I really know who you are now. And I'm going to take care of this darkness because I know you more too." Oh, why don't we just begin to pray wherever we want to and respond to the Lord today. Perhaps before Pastor comes to wrap us up, why don't we practice today? Here's what we're going to do. This is an invitation to you because I can't do it for you. But let's practice. I want you to take a moment And I want you to evaluate the darkness around you. If you're in a dark moment, I want you to evaluate it. I want you to be honest with yourself. If you can look at the darkness you're in right now, and it's a trouble, you're like,
I did this one, God. This one was me.
In a minute, we're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to realign with the Lord through repentance. Just say, I was mine, God. But I know you can get me out of it. So I'm gonna realign with you. Stepping back where you want me to be, and I'm going to let you lead me out of this. Is that all right? It's dark, but you're going to shine. And I'm going to move toward you so that light can really brighten. Amen? Yes, that helps, right? If you want your problems to be small, move away from them to God. If you want God to be big, magnify Him by moving toward Him. That helps, right? All right, so if you're here today, and we're going to do this in a minute, and you're like, it is so dark right now, but it's a trouble. God said it, and I didn't listen. Let's get you back near the light in a minute when we pray. And you say, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm just going to realign here. And I know when I get realigned, you're going to start helping me with this. All right? Now, if you're here today and you evaluate your darkness and it's a trespass, somebody hurt you. The actions of another has harmed you, directly or indirectly. It's harmed you. You have to forgive and release that to the best of your ability. And by the way, that's a daily thing. This is an initiation. All right. It's very unlikely, unless you're just super powerful, that you won't need to forgive them again tomorrow. Is that okay? Sorry. But we can initiate forgiveness right now and say, I'm just going to release them. They harm me. I'm not agreeing with what they did, but I do not want to be imprisoned by this anymore. And I don't want to keep missing out on what God's trying to do in this darkness by holding on to this situation. So I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to release them from this so I can get my sight on the right place, which is the Lord. If I'm holding on to it, I'm likely looking at them all the time, and I am not looking at Him. So I'm going to release that. Because I want to see the light. I want to be in I want the mind of Christ on me. Because you can do a miracle in this. Okay. If it's temptation today, you just need to resist. All right? Resist. We all deal with temptation. It's common among us all. And you just need to dive into James. Submit to God. Resist that situation. It'll flee. And then you just keep moving in the direction of light in that darkness. Right. Amen? And so if you're here today, you're like, man, I've been dealing with some darkness. It's thick and it's a temptation. The enemy's just, I'm tired, I'm weary. I feel a little compromised right now. And the enemy sees it and it's just tempt, 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 tempt. Then you got to say, I'm going to resist that. God, I'm surrendering to you again right now. Help me, Lord. I'm going to resist this. You know what the beautiful thing about that is He's got a way for you to get away from it.
Right.
And you're going to more likely find that way if you stop looking at the temptation and you say, nope, I'm resisting it. And you look to Him and you can see that door He's already opened. Amen. You can see Him in the midst of that darkness. And the last one is this. If you're in a dark place and it's a design of God, it's a trial, but it's a design. God seems to be in it. I did God's will, and here I am. Didn't ask for it, but I did God's will, and here I am. Amen? It was a product of doing God's will that I am here in this mess. I want to invite you, when they start singing again, to rejoice. That's not easy, is it? It's not easy. But about you, and Pastor probably can attest to it, but when I said, Jesus, we're going to Portland, I did not know what he had designed. I thought I knew what he had designed. And I thought it was all bubblegum, skipping, fishing, and fun. I didn't know he had some pretty big trials designed. And you know what he keeps telling me? You just got to rejoice. You just got to trust me. And you got to just rejoice. You, in other words, just magnify me, not the trial. And watch what I can do. So if you're here today, we're going to enter into a time of prayer and response. If you find yourself in any one of those four, you got options. And you can choose yours with your heart, with your mind, with your soul, and just begin to respond accordingly. And God's going to show you he's working in that darkness, that he can do something amazing. Is that all right? So we're going to walk through it, and we're going to pray, and you're going to have your own freedom to do this. But again, if you're here and you're like, I'm in the darkness, and it's a trouble, and I caused it, then you're going to take a moment. If it's in your heart, you're going to say, God, forgive me. I'm realigning. And I'm giving it to you right now. I'm going to get back on the path you had me on. I'm going to go the direction you already encouraged me to go. And you're going to help me in this darkness. I may have created it, but you're about to show up in a big way. Because I'm going to realign right now. If I'm in a trespass and my darkness is something harmed me, Lord, I am tired of being imprisoned in the darkness and missing out what you're doing. Because I'm holding on to something toxic. So I'm just going to release it right now. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to choose to forgive and start a journey of forgiveness, God. Right? If it's a temptation, I'm choosing to resist. I'm like anybody else. I'm going to have temptations. But I don't have to succumb to my trouble and my dark temptation. So I'm going to surrender to you again, God. I'm going to renew my commitment to you right now, God. And I'm going to see you in the darkness as I resist that temptation and that thing of my past. If it is a design of God, I'm choosing to rejoice you. I don't fully understand it yet, but you're in this darkness, God. And so I'm going to magnify you in it, and I'm going to rejoice you in it in the midst of this situation and see your promises and see your prophetic in it, God, and know that you're doing something great. So let's begin to do that together. God, I give you myself right now.
You've been listening to the Living Faith Everett podcast series. Tune in next week for the next part of this series, or join us online at livingfaithministries.church.
And the Holy Ghost, you give me peace.